My guest today is Petra Van Noos, who is the leader and founder, I suppose, of the group Petra's Recession 7, which will be appearing at the Fourth Floor Blues Club here in Richmond on Saturday, March 23rd, as part of the In Concert series of charity concerts here in Richmond. Petra, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
I see from your bio that you're a native of Cincinnati and that you began performing professionally at the age of 11?
That is correct. In fact, I could have been even performing professionally before that.
And you started out in classical music, is that right?
Well, not exactly classical, more musical theater, but in that had classical training from classical, I guess you would say, legit voice teachers. So, yes. Yes and no. And classical ballet training. So, yes, classical with that.
A dancer as well as a singer.
Exactly.
Now, you were in musical theater and ballet. How does one get from musical theater and ballet to jazz?
Good question. Well, it was mostly due to my husband, who was at that time my boyfriend. We met in high school. We both went to a performing arts high school in Cincinnati, Ohio, and he was involved in more blues music, and I was involved in musical theater. And then he kind of eventually gravitated towards jazz guitar, and then I kind of came along after him. I would go to all his gigs and started hearing the music, and then he would buy started acquiring a lot of recordings, and a lot of them involved singers. So I just started hearing a lot of singers singing a lot of the songs that I knew from the musical theater repertoire, but sung in a more jazz style. So once I heard that, I was hooked and sold.
When did you start performing jazz?
Actually, kind of late, I would say. I was 24, so I'm 37 now, so I guess about 13 years ago. But I just, once I heard it, I really took to it. I had kind of been doing a lot of musical theater shows that have repetition. You know, you do the same thing every night, especially a lot of the shows I was in, I was a dancer, so being in the chorus of a lot of shows, it really wasn't that artistically expressive for me. Just, you know, dancing around and singing these songs and doing the exact same gestures and singing it the exact same way every night. And when I would go to hear Andy's gigs, everyone looked like they were really getting into the music and really creating something. So it really appealed to me as a more of an artistic outlet.
Running wild, I've lost control. I'm running wild, mighty bold. I'm feeling gay and reckless too.
So once I got into it, I just went crazy. I practiced and just did it until I was made a lot of embarrassing mistakes, but just kept going until I somehow sort of figured out what I was doing.
Do you have any performers who you especially admire?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I love a lot of old recordings of people who I never got to see, unfortunately, who are not here with us anymore, or some who are, like Doris Day, but she obviously doesn't perform anymore. But all the old singers, I love Peggy Lee and Chet Baker and Mel Torme and Maxine Sullivan and, you know, all the old greats. But then also, I think what was really great for me was getting to see some people live in my hometowns. Like in Cincinnati, there was a really great singer named Ann Chamberlain and another one named Mary Ellen Tanner, and I would go to hear them all the time, and that was really inspiring. And then Andy and I moved to New York for a couple years, and I saw some great singers there. One of them was named Barbara Lee, and I really always enjoyed hearing her, and Barbara Carroll, and a male singer whose name had kind of a female name, Marion Cowings. He was a wonderful singer, and Then here in Chicago, there's Judy Roberts is kind of like the queen of Chicago jazz, and Jeannie Lambert's one of my favorite Chicago singers, and Mark Pompei is also. So I think just seeing people live is, even though I love all the old recordings, I think seeing someone live is what really gets you into it, because it seems real to you.
Tell me about the band, the Recession 7. First of all, where does that name come from?
The name came from the bass player, my friend Joe Policastro, who is also from Cincinnati. He lived in Cincinnati, and we met him years ago, and then he moved to Chicago actually before us and kind of inspired our move to Chicago. But I had been wanting to put together, I would say mainstream jazz, you know, I like all the singers from the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and even some bossa nova stuff from the 60s, but one thing that I've always really enjoyed was more of like the trad, Dixieland style bands, and I always kind of wanted to have a band like that, like a seven piece, you know, with the front line of three horns. And so anyway, I had been doing a couple gigs with some of these guys that are in the band now. I had done some gigs with them in different configurations, but then kind of just got the idea to go all out with the seven-piece band. And like I said, the bass player kind of came up with the name because it was literally right at the time where the whole economy was falling apart in September 2008, and my friend Joe was like, why don't you call it the Recession 7? So that was kind of, I don't know, a kind of a way to, kind of a good way to get some gigs at first too, because everyone really liked the name and thought it was kind of funny. So, and then we were doing kind of depression era music, so it just kind of seemed like a good way to sell it and a good way to get some gigs, and for me, just a great way to play with the players around Chicago that I admire and had wanted to play with and form a band with. So that's the origin of the name and the band.
Now, you say it's a Depression-era music, which would be like 1930s-style stuff?
Yeah, basically, all the songs that we do are from the 1920s and 1930s. I mean, we don't play... I think there's kind of a divide in the traditional jazz community of, you know, the people that are very strict, that play with the banjo and the tuba and everything. We're kind of a more modern. Andy, my husband, plays the electric guitar. Oh, no. and then we have an upright bass, not a tuba. So we kind of, our style is more of like a kind of a swinging, like Eddie Condon style band, kind of a freewheeling. Everyone just kind of taking solos, kind of free form. We don't have any arrangements or anything. It's just, I just got the best guys in town and just call a tune and everybody play a solo and find our way through and hope to start and end in the same place.
Well, it may be Depression-era music, but, you know, those tunes from that era are not depressing at all.
Not at all, exactly. You're absolutely right. They're actually, I mean, that's what's so funny about the music. Everyone that comes to hear the band, people are just made happy by it. You know, that's the main response that I think that I get, is that people just say, oh, this is so happy. I feel so happy after coming to hear you guys. So that, I think that's a plus, you know, and people could always use that back then and now and anytime.
I have been myself a time.
When you come to Richmond on the 23rd, you'll be bringing the whole group with you, right?
That is correct.
And who are some of the folks in your band? I know you mentioned your husband, Andy Brown, is the guitar player.
Exactly, and then I mentioned Joe Policastro is our bass player from Cincinnati, and then our drummer is Bob Rummage, who's originally from Kentucky, and he spent some time in the Cincinnati, Lexington, Kentucky area before moving to Chicago. And then we have three of the top horn players of Chicago. We have Russ Phillips on trombone, and Russ's dad, Russ Phillips Sr., played with Louis Armstrong. He actually replaced Jack Teagarden, and Russ grew up backstage listening to his dad play with Louis Armstrong, so he's the real deal. And then we have Kim Cusack on the clarinet, and Kim is in his 70s and has been playing music for, I don't know, at least 50 years, and started off playing in the Purdue area with the Salty Dogs, and that's a jazz band that's been around literally for 50 years or something. Kim is, I think, the oldest surviving member at this point. And then Art Davis is a fantastic trumpet player who's played with everybody, every visiting artist, and he was on the road with Ray Charles for a while, and he's a fantastic trumpeter who's adept in styles from old styles all the way up to more modern things, and so they're kind of a killer front line, so I don't really have to do very much, just listen to everybody else play nice stuff and try to fit in. It's pretty easy.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is.
And we're sure looking forward to seeing you here. I always ask this question before I wrap up an interview because I never know exactly what I'm going to hear. Is there anything that you want to talk about that I haven't asked you about?
Oh, my gosh. Does this stump everybody? This is a stumper. Let's see. I just want maybe to say that it's great, you know, if people hear this interview to come out and support the live music, because I think that nowadays there's a lot of distractions, you know, from at your home. You can watch every type of movie and you can be on the internet and you can do all kinds of things, but I think there's no substitute for a live performance and a live interaction with people. And I think that, you know, it's sometimes hard to get off the couch and put on your clothes and go out, but I think in the end, it's, for me, I know, always worth it. Whenever I go to hear something live, I feel so invigorated, and I would hope that people would come out and support it, because without, I think people don't realize that, you know, without them, there is no performance. we need the audience, so please come and support us.
There's just this human connection there, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, we feel it, and whenever people give us something, you know, we give more, so it's really a feedback loop. I think sometimes people don't realize that part either. I think people are used to seeing a lot of things that are on a screen, and they don't realize, you know, the louder you clap, and if you hoot and holler and get into it and laugh, and, you know, that's going to feed us, and then we're going to, in turn, feed you back, and it's going to be just a beautiful experience for everyone involved.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Petra, for your time, and we certainly look forward to seeing Petra's Recession 7 at the Fourth Floor Blues Club in Richmond on Saturday, March 23rd, as part of the In Concert series here in Richmond, Indiana. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.